So some of y'all know my background, my context when I was growing up. My dad left when I was 12 and haven't seen him since then. So I don't really have anyone to like look up to or really anyone to invest in me. But then when I was 14 years old, like my life totally took a turn. We had started going to church when my dad left because we were in a spot where we needed God. And that pastor of the church, he came to me one day. He's like, "Hey, would you want a mentor?" And I had no idea what that was, but I said, "Sure, let's. Yeah, that sounds great." And he's like, "What we'll do is we'll meet up once a week after school, and we'll just talk about life." So for 4 years in high school, he'd pick me up on his Harley Davidson motorcycle, and we would go over to like Carl's Jr., whatever was around, and he would buy me a meal, and we would just talk, and he would just listen to my story. Whatever I talked about, I don't know, when I was 14. What are you talking about when you're 14? And he invested in me for those 4 years, weekly, investing in my life. And because he did that, I'm here today. Like, I probably wouldn't be here today and who I am and how I've been shaped if he didn't invest in my life for those 4 years. And then what was super cool is not only did he invest those 4 years, but he's still my mentor to this day. Like, when Meredith and I were gonna get married, he did our premarital counseling, he facilitated our wedding, he dedicated both our kids. And he's been someone who's invested in me for over 20 years now. And it's been really cool to see like what he's invested in me, I've been able to pass on to other people. When I worked in higher education for most of my career, working at a university for over a decade, man, it was so cool. My job was just to invest in college students every day, all week. It was awesome. And the mentorship he placed in me, I was able to place in them. And now that we're in the church planting world, it's a little bit different because I'm not on a college campus, but I get to invest in other people doing life on life together and pass on to them what was passed on to me, and then they get to pass on to others that's being passed on to them. So this idea of mentorship, discipleship, it's life-changing. Like, it really changed my life. And for me specifically, because like I didn't have a dad, anyone to believe in me, like he believed in me, and he became like that dad figure. And so when we read this scripture and you think about yourself, like who's invested in you in your life? And if no one's investing in you, we need to find someone to invest in you and disciple you. So then you can then invest in others because you have so much that you can bring to other people. So today we only did 2 verses, and it was just cool to hear all the conversations. Usually we're like on 20 verses, so got to go deep. So let's read verse 1 and then we'll work our way through together. So it says, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." This is a powerful verse because if you don't know how Paul and Timothy got connected, Paul was traveling around and then he came across this guy, Timothy, and he's like, "Timothy, I want to invest in you. I want you to help on the mission. Come with me and come spread the gospel." And so Timothy jumped in. And for Paul to say, "Timothy, my son," could you imagine like if you're like an older man and you're investing in a younger guy, if you're an older woman investing in a younger woman, if they come to the point where you call them like a son or a daughter, they call you like a spiritual mom or a dad. Like, that's the type of relationship that they got locked in together. So he said, "Timothy, my son." So for that to happen, man, Paul invested the most in him. Like, think about like the person that's invested in you the most in their life, or the person you've invested the most in. This is what Paul did. So Paul invested his time, his finances. He opened up his network of relationships, his mentorship, his availability, his schedule to him. So Paul said, "Hey, Timothy, my life is open to you and you get to step into it, and I want to invest everything into you because I believe in you." If you read there, he gave him words of encouragement and guidance. In chapter 1, verse 6, he did impartation. So this is when he would lay hands on him and pray over him. And it said he imparted to him a spiritual gift. Because there's been times you've been at some of our prayer gatherings where we'll lay hands on people and pray intentionally for impartation to take place. And then Paul does this. He always directs Timothy to Jesus rather than himself. He says, "Find your grace and strength in Jesus. Look to him." And Paul also had others, as you read through his letters. So he had Titus, he had Silas, he had Epaphras, he had Priscilla and Aquila. Paul had these people that he was investing his whole life in. And if you read the stories about Titus and Silas and Epaphras and Priscilla and Aquila, they were investing in a ton of people and starting these churches all over the place. And it all started in Paul's life investing in them. So Paul had these like solid 5 disciples, and he had other ones too. And so if you think about like, who are your 5 disciples? Who are the 5 people that you're really investing in your life, that you're pouring into? They could be your kids, right? And then God also calls you to invest beyond your family into other people, like we're all doing, right? And so who are the people you're discipling that you're investing in? Because if you read through Titus, actually George and I were studying through this, it talks about the older women investing in the younger women and teaching them how to be moms and how to be wives. It was a really interesting study. So there's always this, someone's investing into someone else who's investing into someone else who's investing into someone else. And so when these relationships start off, they're just, you know, they're life on life, like mentorship. What's so cool is they become friendships. Like when I started off with like George, Tim, and JR, and like Jaden, and just like all these guys, and Richie. Well, Richie and I had known each other for a long time. But like that, like I didn't know them, and we were just getting to know each other and meeting up weekly. And now I can say like we're friends. Like I actually like to hang out with these guys, and they make me laugh most of the time, especially JR. He's pretty good at sense of humor as he's just falling asleep over there. Oh man. I'm awake. So they go from like these mentorship, discipleship relationships that start off, then they become friends. And then you do life with them and you co-labor in the kingdom and the gospel, and you're locked arms together, doing life together. Because life's gonna hit, right? And it's like, who are you gonna turn to when life hits? And if you have people who are investing in you and doing discipleship with, they're the people that will stand with you and will pray with you and pray for you. So think about my mentor, Mike. He invested in me. And now I get to invest in a bunch of other people throughout the week, whether it's people here specifically at Enrich, or there's other guys that I'm training to do discipleship like we're doing here, that people are getting trained in. I get to train other pastors and planters throughout Southern California to do what we're doing. So you can see it starts off with Paul invested in Timothy, and then Timothy's going to invest in other people. In the same way, who's investing in you, and who are you beginning to invest in your sphere of influence? And let's look at verse 2. You've heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So Timothy heard Paul teach others, and he said, all right, now you take that and you teach others. So when you think about like the DBS here, like you're getting in the word yourself and you're doing it in a group. And then how do you take what you're learning in DBS and how do you share that with other people throughout the week? And then who can you start a DBS with? Who's someone in your life that you're close to? It could be your kids, it could be your spouse or friend, a parent that you live with, a roommate. But who can you start a weekly DBS with just to start doing discipleship with other people? And as you read this text, Paul included Timothy in his ministry. So he like literally brought him along in what he was doing. Last summer, if you were around, we facilitated our first conference as a church. Under a year, we did a Healed and Made Whole conference, and there are a handful of people that came to that, either to help teach it or to help or to receive from it. And I was intentional. I was like, I invited people to come out, like, hey, come receive this training or come help me do this training. You think about, like, last March 1st, we went to a conference. There's a handful of us. Rick was there, too. We went to a conference with our City to City network that we're connected to, and a handful of us came out and we did a conference together and really grew together. Think about the different prayer retreats that you maybe have had opportunity to plug in, whether prayer retreats or leadership retreats, prayer nights that we do monthly, outreaches that we do. So when you get those texts from me or from Meredith or someone, like we're being super intentional to invite you in. We want to do what Paul did with Timothy, as he brought Timothy in to do the ministry with him and train him. We're bringing you guys on so that we can train you, and then you can go out and reach your whole family and friends network that I can never reach, that you know your friend next to you can never reach, but only you could reach, that God's calling you to reach. So all these invitations are super intentional. And think about the invitations you extend to other people. Because when you extend an invitation to someone else, you're thinking about, this is my time, this is my resources, this is my schedule. So you're probably super intentional with who you invite. In the same way, those people will see the value with your invitation to them. So Paul says to Timothy, hey, as you see me do this, now you do this with other people. Did you notice who Paul said to find? Did you guys see that in the scriptures? He said, find reliable people, faithful people, trustworthy people. He said, find the multipliers. He said, find the ones that will take it, they'll run with it, and they'll share it with a bunch of other people. So I'm gonna give some kudos to someone. I'm gonna talk about George for a second here. I didn't tell him I was gonna do this. He's like, what do you do? So when we were meeting over at Dalton Park, dude, George is so faithful. This guy, he showed up every week to help set up. I don't even think I asked him. He just like started coming. And then I just, Lord put my heart, he's like, ask George to do discipleship. And so I was like, hey George, want to do discipleship? I talked about it. That's when we were first trying to figure it out. He's like, okay. And so we started meeting up weekly. And then, you know, if you're in discipleship, we ask you every week, who'd you share with? And I'm, and George is funny. He knows. He's already smiling, laughing. For like 6 months, I was like, George, who'd you share with? He would be like, no one. And then something changed. And then he started sharing with people. And then he started sharing with his family. And he started a DBS on Monday night with his family. So he started reading the Bible with his family. Then Justin comes on the scene. And he shows up here. And George is the first guy he talks to. And then George, he connects with DBS in that summer DBS we did. And then George is like, Justin, you want to do discipleship? So then George started discipling Justin. And then we got Kevin and Alex who showed up, George's friends. And then George is like, hey, you guys want to do DBS? So he gathers his friends and other people. And so George is that reliable person, that trustworthy person, that faithful person. George took it, and then he ran with it and started spreading it amongst a whole bunch of other people. And so when you think about these types of people, if you want to write this down if it's helpful, and you'd be like, is this me, or who am I looking for? These people are faithful, available, and teachable. So faithful, available, teachable. When you think about faithful, are they consistent? Are they consistent? That they don't make excuses when you, hey, you want to hang out or hey, you want to do this, that they don't make excuses. Do they follow through? Do they actually share and do they actually obey? Are they discipling others? People who are available, this is a big one. Do they reply back to your text messages or do they ghost you when you reach out after like 3 times, right? So people that are responding to you, they're available. Do they show up to meet with you? That's a huge thing. Or do they ghost you? Do they show up to Kingdom and Gospel events? Like if they're invited out to prayer, to outreach, are they coming when you invite them? Do they make time with opportunities that you present to them? Are they teachable? So are they open to learn from you? Do they have humility? Do they make changes at some of your suggestions? Do they receive feedback well? So we're looking for these people who are faithful, who are available, and who are teachable, who will want to share with others. So when you think about it, it says Paul shares with Timothy. Timothy find reliable people who will then share with other people. So you're looking at 4 generations of discipleship. You got Paul, Timothy, reliable people, and others. So you can see that there's multiple generations of people sharing, and you have 4 generations up front. So God's plan is actually discipleship multiplication. So God's plan isn't actually addition, adding one person at a time. He actually wants to add whole groups of family and friends and networks of people at a time to his kingdom. So if we think about moving from 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 to actually doing plus 2 plus 5 plus 7 plus 3 plus 4, right? So you're moving from 1 addition to multiplication, a multiplier. Laura's not here, but I'm going to share about her too, and Josh's husband's here. Like Laura's one of those ones, like she came and she was a new believer like 2 years ago as we were getting started off the ground, and Meredith started meeting with her and going through our discipleship process. And then Laura like took it and grabbed hold of it, like George, like a multiplier, and she started sharing with other people. And it's been powerful to watch her journey with you guys as this has all been unfolding in your family. Because on Tuesday night, Laura and Josh started a DBS with some of their family, and now they got like 3 other people from their family showing up to DBS virtually on Tuesday night because they're kind of spread out. So Laura took it and Josh took it and they started multiplying it amongst their family. And Laura's starting to invest in some other people too, life on life, and do it with them. So George and Laura, and there's, I could talk about a bunch of people here, right? I'm just highlighting some of the ones that have come to mind for me, that they are taking it and they're multiplying it beyond 1 plus 1 to actually 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 and beyond for them. So I'm not a math teacher, but this guy Anthony is over here, so he can correct my math. He's actually really genius at math. It was one of those classes I never did too well in school. So if you disciple 5 people and then you encourage them as part of the DNA to disciple 5 other people, at the 3rd generation, you will have 30 disciples. So if you disciple 5, they disciple 5, you're at 30. And then in the 4th generation, if they all disciple 5, this is where you come in, Anthony, you're at 155 disciples in the 4th generation. He gave me the thumbs up. Okay, math is right. Did you see how that was just 4 generations? If everybody disciples 5, and then you encourage them, hey, disciple 5 people, right? Most people have the capacity for 5 to some extent. If you meet every other week, there's ways to do it. You have 155 disciples in just 4 generations. And then if you go to the 5th generation, I mean, you're, I think you're getting up to almost like around 1,000 people. So the purpose of all these new disciples coming to know Jesus is to actually form churches. So Jesus doesn't want these disciples just to kind of be like lost sheep wandering on their own. He says, actually form them into groups of people, which we call a church. And we looked last week at Acts 2, 41 through 47. If you want to listen to that online, the message, it talks about when people believe and then they're baptized, they hold to God's word. They begin to pray together, to have communion and hang out intentionally in Jesus' name, to have fellowship. You actually form a church. And we talked about that anybody can actually form a church if you do these things what Scripture says. And so if you take that and each person starts a church or two, right? If you do these Discovery Bible studies, let's say you start one and you have, let's say you have seven people in your Discovery Bible study that becomes a church. If each of those people in that Discovery Bible study, I'm going to go back to five because I know what the numbers are. Let's say you have five in your Discovery Bible study beyond you, you form a church. Each of those people form a Discovery Bible study that becomes a church with like 3 to 5 to 7 other people. In the third generation, you have 30 churches planted. In the fourth generation, you have 155 churches planted. Isn't that crazy to think about? Like if you invest in five people in a Discovery Bible study and they invest in five other people in their own Discovery Bible study and they do the same thing for one more generation, we've planted 155 churches. Do you know that's so doable in like 2 to 5 years? Like that's actually not that hard. If we commit to the lifestyle of fasting and prayer and praying into discipleship multiplication, God is going to do this beyond what we could ask, think, or even imagine. So now think of an upside down mega church, right? So if you have a mega church, which a lot of it's above the ground, big buildings, programs, people, if you flip that upside down and put it below the ground, you might not see a lot above the surface, but below the surface, that root system is going to be huge and expansive. So if you look at Enrich right here, I haven't done the count today, including kids, but maybe there's about 30, 35 people here today. Did you know that we have over 100 people in DMM discipleship now? That's because people here are discipling other people. And when I counted all the numbers in the last year, and we've added more, we're up over 100 people. So beyond what you can see here, there's actually 100 people represented that are not here, that are part of our discipleship network and churches that we're starting to plant. So the idea is that if everybody can plant a church through a simple DBS, and then those people can plant a church through a simple DBS, we could see churches planted and people reached that would probably never show up to a quote-unquote like church building because they don't fit for whatever reason or they wouldn't want to go. But if you meet people where they're at in their neighborhood or at a park or like a coffee shop or in their house, then you're going to start connecting with people that would never otherwise want to connect, but they're open to that. So if you want to nerd out for a second, the project I'm working on is I'm creating a system for generational training, support, and resourcing. So the idea is that as these churches multiply to the third and fourth generation, we're creating a system where everybody gets trained, everybody gets supported, and everybody gets resourced. So that there's this basically this, if Jesus is the head of the church, which he is, according to the book of Ephesians, from him flows everything that he'll do to sustain his body. So we're going to create a system for him to build his church out. So the idea is everybody gets to play. I don't know if you're the kid growing up that like got benched a lot or like didn't get to play on the field. Or maybe there's some like all-stars like Tim who's always on the field for offense and defense. It wasn't me. But the idea is that everybody gets to play. There's no bench. Everybody gets to play in the field because everybody can make disciples. Everybody can do it. So God wants us to move from addition to multiplication. So multiplication actually is just more than one. So if you just think two and beyond is multiplication, ideally you think about 3 to 5 people. For most people's capacity, they can invest in 3 other people. Some people's capacity might be more like 5 to 7, 10 to 12, depending on what your leadership capacity is. And I love something about Jaden is when we first started meeting, he's like, I'm praying for my capacity to grow. And I'm like, dude, that's good. And so I actually started praying more into that when you shared that with me. This is what George says too, is like when we disciple people, we're learning from them just as much as they're learning from us in that process. So I often pray for my leadership capacity and my spiritual and emotional capacity, my relational capacity to grow and increase so that I can invest in more people. So if you think about who are the 3 to 5 people that you can disciple, you can invest in, and then they'll invest in 3 to 5 others as you share that vision, that DNA with them, then we'll see that multiplication begin to take place. So the idea is that our Discovery Bible study, our T4T, our Training for Traders, which y'all might know as the green folder, and our Healed and Made Whole, the yellow folder, the idea is that everybody's trained to do that with other people so that they can take that to the others in their lives, their sphere of influence, to impact them. So we're going to be looking from moving from, you know, kind of working with people individually to working with groups moving forward, 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s, 7s, 10s, and 12s, to see more of this multiplication be able to take place. So God, I really believe He wants to move us from addition to multiplication. I'm reading this book on discipleship, and it's like so simple, and it's like 3 or 4 pages a chapter, but it's totally impacting me and changing how I disciple. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of an oikos map. So oikos is a Greek term basically for your network of people. Like, who's in your network? Who are people in your life that don't know Jesus? And you think about like your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your acquaintances, like people that you maybe see at the store or you do sports with and things like that, or you do hobbies with. And then how can you create a calendar that you pray for them and reach out to them? So this week, I started it like 2 days ago, but I've texted 2 of my friends who aren't believers. One I just texted to say, hey bro, I knew his life context. I said, I'm praying for you in these areas. I wrote out a prayer for him. And then another guy got back to me with some things, and I'm going to send him a voice memo prayer. Like, I'm praying with him in person to send him a voice memo. And the idea is, like, if we start praying for people who don't know Jesus, like, their spiritual hunger and thirst is going to continue to increase. And when you have, like, crazy divine appointments when you meet with people and you commit to pray for those people every day as a family and individually, like, God's going to be working in their life in a really cool way. So prayer is so powerful. And when we align our lives with people who don't know Jesus, to be intentional to love on them and get to know them and pray for them, like, Jesus is going to show up in their life. And they're going to be like, hey, I want to know Jesus. Like, what do you have that I don't have? I want that in my life. We hear that, like, time and time and time again. So if you commit to praying for people who don't know Jesus, you'll see them come to know Him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand out a piece of paper for you to begin to think through, like, who are the relationships in your life that you don't yet know Jesus? So I'll pass those out, friend. So as you all worked on your oikos map and you filled out the lines that talk about family, friends, coworkers, classmates, neighbors, hobbies, and acquaintances, if you commit to pray for people in those categories, you just pray for like one a day for throughout the week, or if you just want to do like one a week, if you commit to pray for them, you're going to see Jesus show up in their lives and begin to change their hearts and transform them. And then along the way, if you just say, hey, would you be open to like read the Bible with me? I could get a few of us together to read the Bible. You're going to see a lot of people will say yes. Because if you notice that Paul said, Timothy, find reliable, trustworthy people who take it to others, that means there's people who are hungry for God's word, who are hungry for God, who are just waiting for you to ask them. And you never know. You never know unless you ask. So if you don't ask, you'll never know. Those are the parrots that are dropping stuff on these guys. So that's why you're like, what's going on? I know, only in Southern California, right? You have parrots and trees above you at church at the park. So if you pray and then you ask people, you're going to find people are really open to read the Bible with you and get to know Jesus. And that's why we do the Discovery Bible Study, is you can literally take that sheet of paper with you and you could do it with, like Meredith does it with our kids. We do that at dinner with our kids. You could ask someone in your family or a friend and you'll find people saying yes to you, which is super cool. So as we wrap up, I want you to write down 2 things. How will you obey Jesus today based upon what you read from the scriptures, what Jesus is leading you to do? And then who is one person this week that you can share with? So how will you obey Jesus this week? And who's one person you can share with? And after you write those down, share those things with the person next to you. All right. Hey, as we wrap up, let me pray for us and then we'll transition out. So Jesus, thanks for this morning that we could gather in your name to worship you, to get in your word, to learn about how you want us to be invested in by others and for us to invest in others and to see that discipleship multiplication take place, knowing that just in the 3rd generation, if we're all discipling 5, we could see 30. And then the 4th generation, we see 155. So thank you that the power of multiplication to reach people through discipleship and church planting multiplication is endless. That we could see our family and friends, our workplaces transform, like all these people come to know your power and your love and the power of being forgiven and having a relationship with you, Father, through Jesus. So Jesus, I pray that you would give us grace, as Paul said, being strong through the grace that's in Christ Jesus, to be able to begin to disciple other people, to ask them if they want to read the scriptures, read the Bible together. And I pray, Jesus, that you would line up everyone with people who would say yes, that these people wouldn't know you yet, but through reading the scriptures and through a relationship with us, that they would come to know you, Jesus, and believe and be baptized and go out, and they would then make disciples too. So, Jesus, we pray that you would unlock for us and hit the switch of discipleship multiplication, moving from addition to multiplication. And we pray that through our efforts, we would see you plant more and more churches, Jesus. So we know that you're willing to use anybody who's willing, who's open, and you'll use us, and you'll do it through love and wanting to transform people's lives with your goodness and your kindness. So Jesus, as we step into our week, thank you that you are with us, that you're going ahead of us. Jesus, I ask that you prepare the divine appointments this week for people that you want us to encourage, to speak life into, or to pray with, or to share with. Jesus, I pray that you would give us the grace and strength to be faithful and work really hard at our jobs, whether we're going into the office or we're working from home or we're loving on our kids if we're doing homeschool or stay-at-home mom or dad. And Jesus, you give us the strength to be able to do that really well. I also ask, Jesus, your protection over everyone here. Thank you that everyone's under the blood of Jesus. I declare the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ over your life, your family, and your respective loved ones. That would extend over your house and over your property, over your finances and your cars as well. Jesus, would you release your angels into our lives for your kingdom and gospel purposes? And we'll be filled with your joy and hope that there's always a way and that you'll do what it is that you'll do to bring that breakthrough for us, as Jaden prayed about earlier. So thank you for the breakthrough that's coming for your people. In your name, Jesus. Amen.